everyone. Megan Marie here, and this is episode 13 of the Crystal Habit Podcast. So it's going to be a little bit noisy because a booth is coming down around me because once again, I am recording from the show floor showing off Tomb Raider. This time, we are at Gamescom in Germany, and we're 3 days in, and they're closing down the business center because the rest of the event is just for consumers. It's been an awesome show, and it's afforded me the opportunity to actually talk to some German community members about the game, and I guess I put myself in Carl's position and tried to answer some take fives and have a new appreciation for being asked difficult questions. After that, I had a chance to chat with Lars Winkler. He's the head honcho over at Square Enix Germany and an all-around cool guy who has been a part of Eidos for a very long time before we were picked up by Square Enix. And he's just got some interesting stories and memories from his time working on the various franchises. So I hope you enjoy. We have a couple of community members here. Do you guys want to introduce yourselves?
All right. Hi, I'm Bonfader from Tomb Raider Forums. And my friend.
Hi, I'm Abby.
It was really awesome for you guys to come out here. Where did you come from? How far was the journey?
From Slovakia.
I know. And guess what? He brought me chocolates. They're chocolates, right?
Or are they not candies? Really chocolates. No. You're going to find out.
I'm going to find out. Yes. They look amazing, so I super appreciate that. So, what did you guys think of the demo? You have any questions for me? What do you want to chat about?
It was amazing.
Yeah? Was it cool seeing it on this massive screen in the theater? I'll post photos so that all of you guys listening can hear it.
I wanted to have it at home.
Yeah, I know. I would play on that all the time. So, what kind of questions did you have for me?
Well, the first one is about Lara's necklace.
Yes.
Why does she have it in the... game, but not on the renders.
Not during what?
On the renders, like Crossroads.
So there is a special meaning behind the necklace. It's something that you'll find out at some point. When we did like the initial trailer, it hadn't quite decided when it was going to be on yet. So I know that there's a little discrepancy. Like people are trying to work out when she gets it.
Yeah.
And there's a little bit of a discrepancy between that. It'll make sense in the final game, but I know it's missing from some of the renders. And then it's in Crossroads because it's all gameplay. So, it'll make sense. It'll make all sense in the game. It just doesn't make sense in the context of the renders at the moment. What all else?
Maybe a stupid question, but are there going to be spiders in this game? Because I hate that in Underworld.
You hated the spiders?
Yes.
He's the so big afraid ones. Of the spiders. I had to play all the levels where the spiders are.
All the Tomb Raider games have had spiders.
No.
Haven't they?
The
ones in Tomb Raider 2, in like the Wall of China level, those ones creep me out. The little noise that they made always creep me out.
Are there spiders in Legend?
No.
Okay, this is the only way I can answer this. I have seen a spider or something like that. I'm not entirely sure if it made it. I saw it early on. So I can't answer that. I had seen a spider at one point. Just like those little crabs, they're spider-like. Not really.
Well, the small spiders, they were okay. But the huge ones...
Those ones were terrifying.
Yeah.
And they had them in Guardian of Light also.
There wasn't that much problem because I could be away from the screen and they weren't that big.
Do you yell? When you see spiders in real life, do you yell and make somebody else kill them?
Not yell, but I make someone else to kill them.
I sick my cats on them. Like, go, look, that little thing. Get it for me.
Question number three. Is Lara's... mother's name is still De Mornay.
I saw that one on the forums.
Yep.
we're not going into the parents right now.
Okay.
Because that's... I mean, like you hear her say, that sounds like something my father would say.
I know that you want to...
We just don't want to reveal any of that. That's stuff that if we go into it, you'll find it out through the story. Because I know, like, obviously, the parents have been at the center of the movies and the center of all those things. And it's very much something we want you to experience and find out then.
Okay, so we're going to learn about Lara's past as well in the game.
You will learn about her past to some degree. I'm not going to go into how much.
Okay.
But, I mean, you can always, like, already pick up in some of her conversations.
Yep, I heard her mention her father.
You know, she mentions her father. She talks about, you know, Roth uses examples about things that they had done in the past. I love the little dialogue between her and Sam when she's, like, warning her about something. That's just, I love that dialogue. So you kind of pick up stuff about Lara and her experiences through that.
Another one is they're gonna be hand-to-hand combat. I saw some skills about it, I think.
Well, so you saw that.
Just a confirmation.
Oh man, these are really hard. Now I know how Carl feels. But the thing is that Carl has a better grasp of what he can say, and if he says he overextends himself, he doesn't get in trouble because he's a boss. I'm not gonna confirm hand to hand like punching or fighting or any of that. But you have seen that, like Lara, if there's a guy near the edge, Lara can run up and you know push him off the ledge, and she's very capable in many ways.
Okay. There were, I noticed collectibles in the game, like the historical statues, and as well the documents. They're gonna reveal the mystery of the island through this document.
Yeah, that was definitely something that we were okay with you guys finding. So there are sort of journals along the island at times, and they'll kind of help reveal a bit more about the other people who've been on the island before. And the great thing about that is that you've seen in the Shipwreck Vista, there are like people from all ages and countries, and you know, it's just been very diverse history.
The collector's edition. There's gonna be one. You already said that. And like, what time period you're gonna announce it?
I don't know. It's a transient thing, and I'm not allowed to use the word soon.
It's gonna be this year.
We're still, I would expect so. Okay. We're still trying to figure out the exact window, and it's just there's so much involved in it. You know, there's restrictions in some countries, some things you can put in collector's editions, and some things against digital content in some countries and all that. So it's really hard to finalize them. But that's something we're actually working on right now.
We've really never had a real collector's edition.
Do you have to
Slovakia.
Import them?
Just I have the premium collection from Legend. Mm-hmm. It was from Austria. And Underworld's got one, but just with the bonus disc. The special one from Australia, that was really cool. But far away. Okay.
Hopefully we'll have details for you in a expedient amount of time. That is okay. Not the word soon.
All right, that's all for now. I think.
Dun, dun, dun. That's all for now. Okay, I'm going to sign off for a minute. I'm going to go find someone else to chat with. All right, Luca, do you want to introduce yourself?
Thank you, Megan. I'm Luca from Germany, and I'm the webmaster of the website tombraiderinsider.de.tl.
What did you think of the evening?
Yes. I like the show. Carl had talked about much more than on the ship, I think. And we get chance to hands on the demo, and it's really great to look how the game feels to play. It's totally different than looking at a screen and other play, and you just watch. It's a different feeling when you play it yourself. Yes.
Yeah, getting hands-on for the first time is totally different. So what did you think of the hands-on experience? Did you throw Lara off some ledges? Did you?
Yeah, sometimes it's different because I play always on PC, and now to play with a controller is very difficult.
I actually had a nightmare the other day that they were going to make me demo on a PC. It's like, I wouldn't even know what to do. I'm such a bad PC player. I mean, like, I know I can get by and move around.
I'm the total opposite.
Yeah, I like controllers. I'm definitely a console gamer. So, did you have any questions for me, sir?
Yeah, we had a demo on a community day last year in 2011, and on the Gamescom 2, and I heard on E3 it was a demo. My question is, will the people at home chance to get will they have the chance to play the demo too sometime?
I get that question quite frequently, and it's unfortunately like we just don't have an answer yet. So, I mean, it's something we're still looking into. It's like timing and, all of the work that goes into it. So we're just not entirely sure yet. It's something that I will follow up with Carl on, but I don't have an answer. I'm sorry. If we do, you will find out. I will be shouting
I'm sure,
it. I will be
I'm
shouting
sure.
it from the rooftops. It'll be on Twitter and Tumblr and Facebook, and we'll make sure everyone knows.
Yeah, I'm sure. The other question was, I heard you plan to release a special edition for great fans. So, a village available for pre-order or from the first day or just later? Or?
Those details are going to be soon. Those details will be coming in the near future. We're actually still in the process of nailing down finishing the final details on limited editions and all that kind of stuff. I was actually answering one of the earlier questions was very similar, and it takes a lot of time to cater them to each country and with different restrictions and all of that. So we're getting there. That's actually one of our highest priorities right now. So we will have information, like I said, at a point in time in the near future, and then I will share it with everyone.
Okay. That's all.
That's another one that you're not going to miss. Like, I'm going to be so excited to share, because I'm a limited edition, special edition nut. I love them. I get them for all of my favorite games. And I have like Batarangs and life-size statues. Well, not life-size, but statues and all that stuff. Like, I love collector's editions. So more details coming. That's it?
Thanks. Yes, that's it.
All right. Okay, so these two don't have any questions for me, but I just wanted to get them on the podcast because they're awesome. So will you guys introduce yourselves and say what website from you're from?
Yeah, I'm Janina from Leos Generation, a German fan site, but most of the people may know me as Minerva.
I'm Martin from Leos Generation too.
So you guys recently came out to E3, which was an awesome experience, I think.
Yeah, absolutely.
And I learned a very funny story over dinner with you guys. So how did you two meet?
Well, okay. that's a story which I think is quite romantic, and my wife was a bit angry when I told her the truth. We met when we both lived in Marburg, mm-hmm. in Hessen, in the middle of Germany, and we both were studying archaeology. And I saw my now wife in a seminar at the university, and at the moment I saw her, I knew I got to know her some mm-hmm. way. So when I got back home, I Googled her, and I found her Tomb Raider website. So, and just by instance, I had bought a Tomb Raider game a few weeks before, but hadn't played mm-hmm. it actually.
So you found your motivation
yes.
to play.
I did. And then I used the forum of her website to contact her and pretended that I had some problems playing Tomb Raider and needed help with that.
I love it.
And used that to chat her up. And then I pretended, oh, you study archaeology too? Oh, what a coincidence.
What a coincidence.
And you live in Marburg too? We probably should meet up sometime. And
are you that person on the other side of the hall that I can see during class? So had you guys never run into each other before that?
No, we only had that seminar together, but I never chatted her up there. So I used the website to get to know her. And yeah, I have to admit it worked.
Yeah, obviously. How long have you guys been married now?
One year.
Yes, awesome. We've just had our first wedding anniversary on last Monday, a few days ago.
Okay, so I have to ask, like, obviously, no, if you didn't, it's no big deal. But did you guys have anything Tomb Raider related in your wedding because of how you met?
In the wedding, no. I guess no. Mm-hmm. My mother had a kind of a photo show. Mm-hmm. With memories from our childhood and youth and so on. And there was actually a picture of Lara Croft in it.
Awesome. Just a little Lara presence at the wedding. That's great.
Yes.
So you had been running the fan site, and you had just played Tomb Raider. How long ago is this, and how many Tomb Raider... Has she made you play all the Tomb Raider since? Have you caught up?
Yes, I did. I think I have to admit another thing. I didn't play all the Tomb Raider games yet. But
when we actually have to look forward to.
That's true. when we got together, that was 7 years ago. Mm-hmm. We spent some nights playing Tomb Raider together.
Oh, was he any good?
I forced him
was
to play.
Was he good?
Pretty.
Did he get the puzzles?
Yeah, we played Tomb Raider 3.
Yes, I think I wasn't too bad. Otherwise, she wouldn't have married me, probably.
Gotten angry. It's so obvious. This puzzle is so simple. Okay, well, this may be one of my favorite Tomb Raider stories in existence. So,
oh, really?
Were you legitimately mad at him? I guess I might have been slightly mad for a while. But
well, she thought it was all fate.
Oh, okay, I can see that.
Like, and then when I told her, so she got bizarre. So angry and called me a stalker.
Okay, it's still adorable, and I think that's great, and it's awesome to see you guys at events all the time. So what did you think of the evening? I know you guys obviously saw the game at E3, because Lara's Generation is how old? Is it 12?
We, just a moment.
Calculating. counting the years back. There's so many.
12 years.
12 years. Yeah. So they were invited out because one of the longest running fan sites in Germany, which was awesome. So you guys saw the demo at E3, and then you saw it again on the Captain San Diego, the ship. Were you guys there?
No, no, unfortunately not.
So then maybe this is awesome. Because I was talking to Luca, who was at, he was on the ship, and was like, well, this isn't a ship, on, you know, so... It's maybe not as impressive, but I think this is still a fun event.
Yeah.
Yes, it definitely is.
I think anybody listening to this podcast is going to call me like crazy because I'm so jet lagged. I'm making stupid jokes and going off on tangents.
No, you're doing fine.
Forgive me, guys. All right. Any final words? Thoughts you want to share? Impressions?
Buy the game. Everybody who's hearing this, buy the game.
I hope they will, too. That sounds like a good idea.
It definitely looks like it might be the best Tomb Raider game yet.
That's exciting to hear. All right. Well, maybe we should let you go back and try to play the 20-minute demo for another hour.
Yes.
Have a good night.
Thank you. You too.
Bye.
So I am now here with Lars Winkler, and you are, I just consider you, I say you're the head honcho kind of over at Square Enix Germany. What is your official title?
My official title is Marketing Director of Square Enix in Germany.
So you get to do a lot of fun stuff. I first met Lars last year at a German community event that we threw, which I thought was a lot of fun. And I remember walking into your office and seeing all this crazy Tomb Raider stuff, and then we just started talking about stories, about the stuff you've done at Eidos throughout the years, and I was insanely jealous of your Angel of Darkness rose base statue that you had, right?
Right.
It's one of the rarer ones. So I wanted to have you, since we're in Germany, I thought it'd be great to chat just about some of the stuff you've done over the years. But first, so what do you do at Square Enix Germany as the marketing director? Just kind of like an overview of your job.
Yeah. I mean, Square Enix Germany is a subsidiary of Square Enix Europe, and we're a pretty small, tiny office based in Hamburg, where we do all the marketing and PR stuff. Internally, so we can communicate with the studios like Crystal Dynamics, but we also do the marketing campaigns, PR campaigns for Germany, Austria, Switzerland, and talking to our distributor here in Germany to bring the product to market.
And how many games are you supporting at the moment? Because it's obviously not just Tomb Raider.
No. I mean, we have a good lineup. I mean, we're finished with the campaign for Sleeping Dogs, which is released, that is, today, obviously. So that's more or less done. Next big thing, AAA thing, is Hitman Absolution coming out November 20th this year. And then, we're looking forward to Tomb Raider March 5th in Germany. It's a bit earlier, maybe 2 days in North America. I'm not quite sure.
As far as I know, it's March 5th everywhere.
Yeah, everywhere.
So we're gonna be coordinating big stuff. and speaking of Hitman, I love that you guys did this. So we're at, I prefaced earlier in the podcast, we're at Gamescom right now. What are some of the cool things that you guys did for the Hitman marketing here at Gamescom? I saw these perhaps little tongue-in-cheek assassins signs that you had all over.
Well, yeah, the name of the game is Hitman, but obviously this is a game about assassins, so or assassination in a way. And this is Hitman 5. We call it Hitman Absolution, but the last game came out in 2006, and right after our release, a new franchise made it to the market called Assassin's Creed, and we found it very interesting to see, you know, the color palette of this game and the pose and the music they did in the game, because it reminds us a bit of our Hitman game in a way. You should have a look. I mean, it's very, very interesting to compare both games. And we thought, you know, now that Hitman is coming back in November, we feel that, honestly, we think we are the original assassin, and that's why we created this campaign about the original assassin. It's a very, very, I think, self-confident, creative, but also very fun, funny campaign. So we take it in a fun way, and we think that there are some steps where we can really ask the community, you know, if you like Assassin's Creed, for instance, just have a look at Hitman. I mean, it's really worth to have a try and play our game. So it's going to be really interesting, and there are a lot of things which you can compare with Assassin's Creed and Hitman in a way, and that's, we make a lot of fun things about it. And I think when you check out Facebook and YouTube, you will see some parts of our campaign.
So they were little cutouts of basically an assassin character from Assassin's Creed sitting with like a job sign saying
obviously, it says like, wow, Hitman is back, lost my job,
looking
for a new kind of job in a way. And yeah, we made a photo shooting with a guy who took a rope, and maybe some people reminds it to the Assassin's Creed character.
I thought it was cute, and it is tongue in cheek, so I think it's kind of it's funny, so it's hard to take offense to. I liked it a lot. So in general, before we dive into some of the stuff that you've done in the past, how's the show gone so far?
Great.
You were just running around doing signings for Final Fantasy, so we have lots of Final Fantasy stuff going on here also.
Exactly, yeah. Naoki Yoshida, Yoshida-san, the executive producer from Final Fantasy XIV, A Realm Reborn, is here at our booth, and he's doing great work. I mean, obviously, he's there for the whole day making a lot of shows, and just finished an autograph session with the fans, and we asked the fans beforehand to print out some stuff it's a bit easier for him to sign all the stuff. But, you know, they're coming up with pull-up banners and T-shirts and white and pink PS3 consoles, which are only available in Japan, I guess. So they are really, really Final Fantasy
dedicated
fans. And it's really interesting. And the feedback is absolutely awesome so far. I mean, well, the fans are really looking forward to Final Fantasy, so it's great to see their reaction.
Great, good to hear. Okay, so let's go back a bit. How long have you been at Eidos and then Square?
Well,
in total.
Yeah, yes. I started with Eidos in 99, so mm-hmm.
It's been a while.
And I started with Tomb Raider, The Last Revelation. Mm-hmm. My first game at Eidos was Soul Reaver, so that was in the same year, a couple of months before Tomb Raider, Last Revelation. So it's really a long time, I'm a big Tomb Raider fan. I'm a big fan of Lara Croft, and so that was also my motivation to join the company, to be honest. Mm-hmm. So I come totally from a different direction, so nothing to do with entertainment industry at all, or video gaming industry.
Really?
Yeah.
And Lara was like your motivation. Tomb Raider was one of your motivations to try to get in.
Well, the personal story behind that is that my girlfriend, she worked for she worked for an agency, and this agency they created kind of a job description ad, and before they booked it into the newspaper, she brought it home and showed it to me, and Eidos was looking for a creative director.
Okay.
So I was calling the managing director of Eidos Interactive in Germany a day before the newspaper was out,
and
he said, where do you get this from? And I said, you know what, I'm a big fan, and I can't believe I can join the company in a way, so just have a look at my CV, and maybe it fits, maybe it doesn't. So and then it came to the interview, and it's all good so far.
So even though you started with Last Revelation, you'd played the Tomb Raider games beforehand. So you've been in since 1996.
Yeah.
An original early adopter.
Yeah, okay. Yeah, absolutely. And I love Tomb Raider, and I played all the games, and I even made a speed run with Tomb Raider 2, and already won a competition in Germany. I think the guy who is ahead of me with the speed run in the first level, the Great Wall in Tomb Raider 2, I think he's cheated. Maybe he changed the time in the photos, so because I couldn't imagine that he can do it faster
that
than
fast.
Yeah. No. I played all games, and not only the games, I replayed them and looking for the treasures and everything in the game.
Awesome.
So, and over the time, of course, when it comes to, you know, the campaign and the goodies and the models you met, and also Angelina Jolie, for instance, you collect a lot of stuff. And when we first met and you came into my office,
that's jealous of, because you had so many unique, like, one-off sort of things. And it's always interesting when I travel to see things that were created specifically for certain countries. So just, this is a huge, broad question, but what are some of the coolest, like, campaigns you've done surrounding Tomb Raider?
I think it has something to do with this is more or less marketing chit-chat, but maybe about the positioning. So Lara Croft, honestly, in the early days in North America, some people say Laura Croft. Mm-hmm. So, you know, the whole pronunciation was, or the game itself was about more like Tomb Raider and the action part in North America. Whereas in Germany, it was absolutely awesome to see the reaction when the game released that, a woman is the main character in a game. And even that is third-person perspectives adds something new. So there were two components which created a big buzz in Germany about the game itself, but also Lara. So I can't tell you what is has more weight, Lara or the game. So the positioning in Germany, when I started, or the guys before me, they said, you know, we have to concentrate not only on the game, but just make Lara big in a way in Germany. And so we created different stuff for our German community, because back in the days with Core Design and the brand direction they took, they mainly focused, of course, on the big markets, you know, and Germany is among the big markets, but maybe not the biggest. And so we felt that there is room to improve in a way that we can make it more, you know, more casual, it fits just in a better way for the German community. And so we created some stuff at around Lara Croft on her own. And the statue with the roses is something where we feel we should, that was at a time where we feel we should put Lara on a special, you know, on higher level. You know, she's an icon. You know, it's not like she's not a gaming character anymore. She's so mass market. She had cover stories with biggest German newspaper magazines, and she was on the cover story before Mario was on a cover story in Germany. So honestly, I mean, it's really, really interesting. And I have all the covers still in, and the first issues in my office, and it's really interesting to see that. And so we started to think about more, you know, add more depth to Lara, you know, because there is enough depth, of course. I mean, it's really interesting to see how many things you can create. And it's not about creating something at a certain level when a character on and a game is very popular, of course, then other things come to the game. And so we were asked by different kind of museums that they can have a dedicated show just about, you know, a gaming heroine, Lara Croft.
Oh,
and
wow.
So, yeah, and I've another story about Assassin's Creed, maybe. I met Yves and the managing director from Ubisoft 2 years ago, and they were speaking about that they now have a kind of an art museum in Germany that's a big opening, and they have it for a week. And so, and they said, you know what, we had that 99 with Lara and it was really great, you know. And obviously he didn't know that, but it wasn't a surprise, of course, for him. But you know, this is something where you know, life is when you look at the whole life circle, you really find out, I mean, Lara is for such a long time now on the market, so there are a lot of campaigns, a lot of things just around Lara, and especially in Germany, we try to even find ways where we can focus more on the character.
So what, do you have any specific examples of things like you created, or do you have a hand in merchandising and licensing also, just products and that, anything like that that you created that you were especially proud of or was really fun to work on?
It's more like the merchandise stuff and the stuff we produce for the community, like art prints or special frames or special branded airbrushed editions. So we felt that, you know, it's great to have such a gaming legend like Lara, but we want to share it with the community. So it's not like producing something to get more revenue or so. At a certain point, you have to give a lot of things back to the community. And whenever we did that, we looked first, should we do it in a limited way, you know, to let the community buy stuff from us, but in a limited way, so that they really
special
feel proud and special, or should we just give it away? And that's what we did. And you know, I mean, I think we're looking into ways of producing maybe other statues with around Lara, with maybe a new Tomb Raider game or other stuff that is coming up. So we started first with a company who is creating the great life-size statues for Tomb Raider in Germany. The company was based in Mannheim near Frankfurt, and now they moved to Australia. But all this is something that we created because we feel that we can definitely do something with Lara, which is special.
That's great. So you guys created, I think I remember seeing The Office, did you guys do like a Swarovski Crystal 360. Was that you guys? So that's like kind of an example of one of the one-offs that you guys did, like one of the unique pieces you did?
Exactly, yeah. That was for Tomb Raider Underworld. It was a collaboration we set up with Microsoft in Germany. And by that time, it was very popular to... it was called Pimp Your Phone or Pimp Your Mobile.
Yeah, make it bling. Yeah,
exactly. And behind that is a company based in Berlin. And they gave us a contact to the Swarovski Crystal company. Mm-hmm. And we said, you know what? I mean, normally on the phone you put something like 100 or 1,000 Swarovski crystals. So what about we set up? You know, we create three unique Tomb Raider Underworld Swarovski Xbox versions. And so we were asking people to think about how many Swarovski crystals are there, and then the winner gets, you know,
oh, wow,
one unique one.
How many were there?
We put one to Microsoft. We gave one to Microsoft. 42,000.
Oh, that is incredible.
That is incredible, right?
It really is.
I didn't count them, but they said it's
42,000. That's impressive. Have you met all of the Tomb Raider models throughout the years? I feel kind of evil asking if you have a favorite. Like, did you get to interact with them at all?
Yes and yes. I think, I don't know if I remember all of them, but Jill De Jong and Lucy Clarkson and Lara Weller, but honestly, because whenever we had a live Lara model, and because we are here at Gamescom, mm-hmm, of course, we asked them to travel to... it was Leipzig before, now it's Cologne, to travel to the venue and ask to help out, you know, doing some promotional stuff. And the best, can I say that?
Yeah, you can say that.
Karima Adebibi.
You know what? So many people love her. And I love her too, and it's, I love all the classic ones too, but she's just so personable and fun.
Absolutely, yeah. I mean, every Lara model was just great and very handsome, very nice, and was very interesting to meet them and talk to them. But, you know, the will to support Lara in a special way, that was really Karima, and I'm really thankful that I met her, and we did some great stuff here at Gamescom a couple of years ago.
Great. Okay, another evil question. If you had to pick one item out of your Tomb Raider collection that's your most valuable or most prized or personable item, what would it be?
Yeah, that's Lara on the roses. I have two versions, one the statue and then the big billboard, which is framed in my cellar where I have all my games standing and playing on the...
Can I request a photo of that?
Yeah,
okay. I'm going to get a photo of that. I'm going to put it on the blog, I promise. Okay, so... They're about to take the booth down around us. I think we're going to get kicked out. So we're going to have to cut the interview a little bit short. But thank you so much for chatting with us. It's actually really interesting to hear kind of the marketing side of it and some of the... Man, I wish I could have been there for some of
those
experiences.
I hope it's not too boring.
No, it's quite fascinating. So thank you. I appreciate your time.
Thank you very much and have fun with the new game.
We will. All right, that's it for now. Thanks for listening. We'll be doing plenty more podcasts while we travel about and promote Tomb Raider. And I think the next stop we have is PAX. So hopefully we'll get to see some of you there.